And I just thought, oh, I need to grunt, or no, I need to hit the can, or I better rattle. And then I thought, you idiot, you've got the perfect decoy right in front of you. You've got a hot doe. He nudged her in there. Just for once, don't do anything. Don't screw this up. Just let it play out.
I love it.
We've all been there.
And yeah. I was just like, don't force the issue. And I thought, if he doesn't show up in 30 minutes, then maybe give a soft grunt or hit that can or something. But right now, he's standing in the thing.
Camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb the
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easy.
Legacy Farm Land Specialist LLC and WiseEye presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. We are in the studio. Redbone Mike Crace, Wayne Locke, and our special guest, Warren Bland. Warren Bland is from Donovan, Missouri. I've known this old boy for several years. Do you remember the first time I come down to Donovan and done your NWTF event?
Yep, I remember it. And like I say, had a good time. Alex put on a good show there, calling for the kids. And seemed like we had a little calling contest with the kids.
I think we did.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a good time. That was many years ago. I think it's when you first started your chapter.
Yeah, first year I really came on board with the chapter. Now I'm chapter president and trying to carry it on.
Yep. Well, folks, this week our subject is deer hunting, as you know. Pre-rut's coming in. We're getting really close for pre-rut. Bucks are rubbing, velvet rubs, and scrapes are starting to show up. And we're going to talk about something that Warren has created, and it's dear to his heart. We're going to talk about that throughout the show with our other special guest, Mr. Darren Williams. Darren Williams shot one of the largest whitetails with a crossbow last year, state of Kansas, that gross scored 234, I believe, in 5/8. And he's going to talk about the story of shooting that buck, but we're going to surprise our guests with about your passion for something you've created throughout the show. But we're going to talk about current events right now. What about those Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, they keep winning.
They got lucky, didn't they? Really?
Well, they're winning ugly. I don't know luck. I mean, they got the best quarterback in the game, and I don't want to hear any Joe Burrow or Chad Allen or any of those other guys' names even be thrown around, because he's pretty much done it all by himself.
Think about it.
Through these first few weeks, and he's just that guy. The kid is a winner. I mean, here he's 4 years in the league, and he's already beaten every team in the NFL.
He set more records than any other quarterback in history.
It's unbelievable. We just hope that they can put it all together.
Yeah.
The wide receiving
corps. They have some weaknesses. The receivers are weak.
Yeah. I made a comment the other day. They do not have one NFL-quality wide receiver.
They don't.
And first half of last week's game, I thought, okay, these guys are coming around. And then I watched the second half of the game. I thought, yeah, no, they're not. So it's just one of those things.
So, Warren, you're a Chiefs fan. Oh, you watch them?
I watch them sometimes.
Yeah. So what about our high school kids? Cape Girardeau's team's over there. Dexter, they say Cape's really good.
Yeah, a lot of good teams in Southeast Missouri. Portageville's ranked number 2 in Class 1. New Madrid County Central's ranked number 1 2. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good folk. Of course, you got the Valley Warriors, who are always good. Cape Girardeau and Poplar Bluff is really good.
They say they're really good. They've got like an 80% winning record right now. I don't know what the record is, but yeah, we appreciate all of our listeners over there in Southeast Missouri that listen to us. And
and congratulations, I don't know if we did this yet, to the Salem, Missouri Tigers.
Yeah.
I think we did end of last week.
They won a game.
Finally won a game.
They beat
Willow
Springs.
16-game losing streaks.
Yeah,
so congratulations to Salem. And,
yeah. Thayer, Missouri won. Bobcats.
Last Friday, no.
No, they didn't. They lost to Ava, but they got a game coming up this weekend. You face Willow Springs.
Yeah.
And Liberty faces Salem, Missouri.
Okay.
And Ava, Missouri is still the team to beat in our area, Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Warren, we heard the bad news last night in social media that Donovan has canceled the rest of their football season because not enough participation. It absolutely breaks my heart. What have you got to say about it?
Well, I know there's been a lot of people over the years that's really put a lot into it to help make that happen. And, it was a surprise to me yesterday when I heard that they had canceled all this year's games, you know.
It breaks my heart, you know. We got to do something to help get this back on track for Donovan. I'm going to do everything in my power to help support Donovan and their football. It just generates community togetherness, you know.
Yeah.
Just like football, like baseball and basketball. We've got to do something to help Donovan Redbone, Wayne.
Well, and I say school's just all over because participation in high school sports is down overall nationwide.
Yeah.
Got to do something to get those kids off the couch playing video games and get them back out in the gym, on the baseball field, on the football field, you know, on the volleyball courts and all those things.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Donovan kids that were playing, that did show up and did put all the time and effort into practice and was looking forward to a long season, you know, and heart goes out to them. And I know they're probably hurting and sad, but next year's another year. And, you know, I feel really bad for the seniors, but at least the juniors will have another shot, you know, hopefully next year.
Well, if they bring it back.
And, right, that's what I said, hopefully.
Know, yeah. If not, then you may see an exodus of kids out of the Donovan School District that want to play football. They'll go to Poplar Bluff.
They'll move.
They'll move down into the Boot Heel and play somewhere down there. I mean, the kids that want to play football are going to go play football if given the opportunity.
Yeah. If the parents got the means to get their kid where they need to go to play, they're going to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, sports creates a lot of knowledge and gives knowledge to the kids how to work with people. And when they win, they learn to be winners. And when they lose, they learn to be losers, which helps them become winners.
Yeah.
So we're all about Donovan, Missouri having football. And I'm going to do everything in my power to help them every way I can. So if anybody is trying to save football, get a hold of me. I'll help you promote it, whatever we need to do. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, you don't want to go to break yet?
Don't want to go to break yet. We got just another minute and a half or so here.
Okay.
A little over 16,000 deer were killed over the weekend.
Bonus does.
The three-day antlerless deer hunt in Missouri. And that's a good number. Good number. 16,000 on 575 or something.
It was more than they expected.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I read a report on it. Yeah.
I think Ripley County was number two.
Is that right? I wonder how many bucks, I don't mean to be negative, how many bucks was killed and not reported. Yeah.
Let's not even go there. I have my own thoughts on that. But then here's one other thing I want to say. MDC, if they're going to do this early antlerless deer-only hunt, then they need to shut down bow season for those 3 days.
Yeah.
Or just make it a buck
or
only.
Make it antlerless.
I mean, a doe only. I mean, doe only.
Period.
Yeah.
Bow, gun. And I'll just say this because I've seen a lot of posts and a lot of people kill some big bucks this weekend. Bow hunting, of course. I'm just going to leave it at that.
With that 243 grain arrow.
I don't know, man. I would doubt it.
I didn't say that. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, I weigh my arrows all the time. I know.
Hey, I got to keep them tuned up.
That's right.
400 some grain arrow. But anyway, we're going to go to a break. We come back. We got special guest. Mr. Darren Williams, Mr. 234. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hey, y'all. It's Tyler Farr, and you're listening to my good buddy, Mr. Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
Hunting off the farm, wishing on some luck. I've been on a big boy for a while. I can load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, Redbone, did you hear about that new deer feed?
What new deer feed?
Hey, Buck Grits, boys, you ain't heard of that yet?
Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com.
Well, tell us about it. What makes it better than any other deer feed?
Well, Buck Grits has got the protein a deer needs. It's got the fat a deer needs. It's got the amino acids. It's got the energy. It's got it all, brother. It's going to bring them back after the rut, and it's going to put a rack on their head.
And it's going to help the lactating does, I assume, too, after they have the fawns.
That's right. Keep the fawns going and get them for the next crop.
Well, where can I get Buck Grits?
BuckGrits.com. You can get a sample. You can order it directly from the website, and we're coming to a retailer near you.
If you want to help a deer herd, use Buck Grits.
Across the creek of a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Hornady Ammunition presents... Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors. We are in the studio. Again, my co-host, Redbone Mike Crace, Wayne Locke, and our special guest, Mr. Warren Bland. And on the phone, we got Mr. Darren Williams. We got a great show lined up for y'all. First thing I want to talk about, and first thing I want to say is welcome to the show, Darren. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Yes.
Thank you.
Glad to be
us.
Here.
Yeah. Hey, Darren, what we're going to do is talk to Warren first. Warren, just follow my lead. It's really simple. Just answer my questions, okay? Warren, talk about this event that you put on at Donovan, Missouri, and what do you call this event, first thing?
Used to be the Town and Country Big Buck Contest, and since I've retired, we've went to Tractor Supply.
Okay.
Big Buck Contest. We give away two portions, one for the youth weekend, and another for the regular gun season.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
We've done this since 2005.
And you were telling, you were saying off the air that ran into the father, I think you said, of the young boy that won the very first year and won the very first gun.
Yeah, year before last, when we had our last one that I got to have, I ran into the boy's dad. And he's got a farm over by Levin Point, by Oregon County line. And he said his son still talked about that, you know. And he won the very first gun ever give away in 05.
That's pretty cool. I know, Warren, we've done this when I was doing Redbone Show. We used to have Warren in every year before this. You've actually had kids come and hunt who were the kids of people that hunted in the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's kind of like a family tradition.
It's all been going since 05.
That's crazy. 05.
Yeah, yep. Almost 20 years.
Yeah. What do you think of this, Darren?
I think it's an awesome deal.
Yeah, it's an awesome deal. So what made you want to create this event?
I just came about it, talked about it with some of the people, and I called my boss with Town and Country and asked his blessing, and I kind of went from there.
He just turned you loose. He said, hey, go with it. But he said, I think if I remember correctly, he said, well, we have nothing to donate you.
Yeah, at that time. Because he asked me, you know, what in the world does that have to do with selling groceries? I said, well, Bob, I said, this is Ripley County, the deer hunting capital of the state. And I said, the schools shut down, the sawmills shut down, everybody goes on vacation.
They don't work. They hunt.
The kids, the women, the men all hunt. And where are they going to buy their groceries, gas, and their deer hunting supplies?
Yeah. They do anything like that in Kansas, Darren?
Yeah, not right around here, but there are events, you know, to get the youth involved in hunting around here.
Yeah.
In state, but I don't have anything real local that I'm involved in, but I'm always keeping my eyes open because I don't think it's ever a bad thing to get the kids involved in the outdoors.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hey, you know, I got a question. We were talking earlier about the...
This is to you, Warren.
You were talking about the need of trying to gather prizes and stuff and how things have changed since COVID. And that, you know, what is it that you're looking, if people are interested in helping you out, what is it you're looking for?
Well, just anything, anywhere from caps, gloves, deer stands, blinds... Help with the guns, which I've gotten some help, you know, money, people donated and to pay for the guns. And, you know, it's in the past, I've had 70 to 90 entries with the kids and usually 20 to 30 bring bucks in. And no matter if it was a little spike buck or a great big one, every kid got stuff.
Yeah.
I pay the top four main places, you know, with guns and scopes and tree stands, blinds.
This is awesome.
Right. Yeah. And Alex, I mean, when's the last time you heard a big buck contest only being 10 bucks? I mean, all the ones I enter are not $10.
Well, I remember in the day Anheuser-Busch used to have one in West Plains. You remember that red bone?
Many years ago.
And I had music in my ear there. But anyway, there was $1, I think, for the doe, and $5. That was back in the 70s. You remember that?
Yep.
So they could enter, and they give away guns and stuff, the heaviest doe, heaviest buck, blah, blah, blah. So tell everybody how they can enter this contest.
Well, you've got to be entered the night before season to be fair to all, whether it's a youth contest or the regular gun contest.
And youth season is October 28th, so you need to register before the 27th if you're a youth hunter.
Yep, before Tractor Supply closes, you've got to be entered. And the same way with gun season, you know, you've got to be entered. The kids, if they do not get to use their entry during the youth weekend, their entry carries on through gun season as well.
Okay, that's good stuff. So how can they find out more
about
this?
We have a Facebook page on it. We put a flyer out on Facebook, or you can call me at 573-996-6060.
Give that number one more time, real slow.
573-996-6060.
There you go, everybody. I'm asking everybody that's listening, if you got it in your pocket and your budget to help fund this program that he's doing for the youth hunters and for hunters in Ripley County. And you don't have to be from Ripley County.
No,
you can
you
be
do
in
not.
Shannon, Howe, Carter. It don't matter. Butler County, sign up for this, because this is about the kids, man. I remember as a kid growing up, and we talk about this a lot, Wayne Redbone, I couldn't wait to go to the check station or the gas station, the 66 Sinclair, to watch the bucks that was brought in. And that's what's happening here. He's getting people to bring their deer in, and people wait in line, don't they? And they buy food at the New Way. Now they're going to buy stuff at Tractor Supply. Redbone?
All right, so my question is, Warren, what is the criteria as far as judging to who wins the contest?
I've had different people judge over the years, but the last few years, my son has judged. He's done very well doing it.
Are we judging number of inches?
Total number of inches by Buckmaster.
Okay.
Just total number.
All right.
You know, and we put it down, and we go strictly by number of inches with the places.
But the kids, during the kids, and then the adults in the other portion, whatever buck you kill, you need to bring it in, because you never know when it might win you a prize.
That's exactly. I've had people tell me over the years, they've said, you know, well, I had one that big, I just figured he wasn't big enough.
Yeah. Hey, talking inches, that being said, again on the line, we haven't forgot you, Darren. This guy killed a mega giant last year in Kansas, and we're going to get to hear his stories. I want to thank you for sharing with us what you do for our communities down here with putting this event on, Warren. Again, contact Warren. Support this event. Let's blow it out. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Darren about the story of his giant 234. Is that correct? Darren?
236 and 5/8.
Oh,
don't cheat him. 236
and 5/8. All right, we're going to go to a break. We come back. We got Darren Williams telling the story of his mega giant. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, folks, this is Richard Young with the Kentucky Headhunters down here in Southern Kentucky. You're just listening to American Roots Radio with Alec Rutledge right down here from Kentucky, but he's out yonder somewhere else. He's way out there. Y'all check it out.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never gotta worry.
Hey guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Eagle Seed presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment three of the show. And as promised, we got Mr. Mega Buck Giant Killer Darren Williams on the phone from Kansas. Darren, how's your day going, buddy?
It's going. You guys are pretty special. I parked the combine just to put the call in to you to talk to you tonight.
Oh, you're farming. He's farming.
Yep, soybean harvest started yesterday.
Oh, man. You give up thousands of dollars just to be on this show. Combine thousands of dollars. So Darren, go ahead.
Anytime you kill a giant deer and somebody calls and says, hey, I want you to do a podcast, you park whatever you're doing, and I never have a problem talking.
So, Darren, tell us about who you are. Tell us about Darren Williams real quick. Who are you? Where are you from? Born and raised?
My name's Darren Williams. I live over here in East Central Kansas. I farm for a living. We row crop. We have some cattle. I've been an avid deer hunter for 30, 35 years. I'm a self-taught deer hunter. I didn't really have anybody in my family that deer hunted before me, and so I'm kind of taught myself along the way, and that's kind of who I am. I'm a country boy, and we
love it.
Had a chance at a mega giant last year, and it's been a wild ride since we killed him. So
how many acres do you farm out there, Darren?
Close to 2,000.
Close to 2,000 acres.
Whoa.
How old are you, Darren?
51.
You're 51. Have you got grandkids, married?
I'm married. I don't have any kids. But we run a few cattle as well as our row crop operation, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And this deer hunting thing really got under my skin when I was in high school. But like I said, I didn't have anybody to really teach me how to go deer hunt, and so I taught myself along the way. But in visiting with you,
yeah,
I lay a lot of credit to the videos and stuff that I was able to watch back in the early 90s to helping me be able to kill that deer last year.
Yeah, well, you want to hear what's really cool about this whole deal? Darren and I are going to get to hunt together here in Missouri. He's coming to hunt with me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, rifle season, so he's coming to hunt with me.
Yeah,
so Darren,
we don't have any very many 236-inch deer.
Not very many, but we got some 200s.
Yeah.
But Darren, 236 and how many eights?
Five eighths. Yeah. Gross.
Talk about the story.
Boone and Crockett.
That's gross. Okay.
Yep.
When did you spot this deer? Tell us the story on that.
Okay, so back in March, been a year ago now, I believe, in the springtime, I found his shed when I was spreading some fertilizer on some wheat ground, and knew that there was a phantom giant deer running around there around town, heard stories about it, had a buddy of mine that was kind of being tight-lipped about it, and when I showed him that shed, I said, is this the shed you've been looking for to that giant deer? And he's like, yeah. He goes, now I'm going to have to tell you the whole story. And he runs an outfitter business in here, and he had a client miss that deer the year before, and they judged him at 200 inches then. And the client got so shook up, he shot right underneath him, I think, at 25 yards.
Oh, my.
And so if he hadn't have missed him, we wouldn't even be talking. But
ain't that something?
Once I found that shed, then he had to kind of tell me the whole story, and I learned that this buck was using my property to get from one block of timber to the other, and he was just using my fence line to go from point A to point B. And I don't have any timber on that property to speak of. It's all farm ground, probably 95% tillable. But I did have about a 5-acre pond, 3 to 5-acre pond, with some just nasty old grown-up brush around it. And lo and behold, we had a drought, and that deer seemed to run my fence line and then stop in there and get a drink and run out of there and just go from point A to point B. And I really didn't have any thick timber. I really didn't have any reason for him to stay on the property very long other than to get a drink out of that pond. But he could do it in a way where nobody would see him from the road. He was secluded. You know, he could just be like a ghost, get in there, get a drink, and get out. And
wow.
So
I built a food plot, planted it late August, about at 7 to 8 acres behind that pond. And back in the summertime, I took a brush cutter with a skid steer, and I made some lanes in that thick old stuff. So if I could try to hunt him, I could at least walk through it. Made a staging area behind my redneck blind. And put a lot of work into it and threw a Tacticam camera up. And I believe it was like September 10th, I got my first picture of him on our property. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how I could describe it, because I've never seen a deer of that size on any of my properties ever before. And just to know that it was all true, they weren't lying to me, that he actually was using my property and I actually laid eyes on him with my camera pictures and stuff, it really shook me up, because I thought, wow, I mean, do we have a chance at this deer? And I'm like, you know. But the crazy thing is, we never were able to pattern him.
Really? He was not on a pattern.
A lot of rumors have gone around about how I just dumped a pile of corn out, and I went out there one night drinking coffee, and I killed, you know what I mean? Killed him because I knew what time he would be there and all that kind of stuff. And I maybe had 8 to 10 trail cam photos of him. I killed him on November 16th. I think it was like 4:30 in the evening. So from September 10th to like November 16th in the morning, I might have had 8 to 10 trail cam photos of him. Never knew when he would show up, except I knew it would be in the dark, because he never showed himself in the daylight in front of my camera. And so we just really didn't have any idea when he would be there or when he wouldn't. And it was kind of a random deal. And it was a tough sit, because it's not a deer hunting property. We were doing good to see 2 or 3 deer a night when we would go in there and we would sit. And I only sat in there about 4 times, you know, before I got him, because I'm a big believer in not pushing the issue, not stinking the place up if the wind's in the wrong direction, not pressuring them. And I just knew with a giant like this, we were going to have to do everything right to have a chance to even see him.
Yeah. Well, Darren, I need to interrupt you. We're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to pick this back up. Nobody leave us, because, man, you're going to get to hear him give it even more detail to how he closed the deal. We're going to go to a break. We come back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hi, everybody. This is Aaron Tippin, and you're listening to my old buddy Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp. 24-volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.
They ain't down. We'll be waiting when they hit the ground. Big time coming, it's what we do. From a whippoorwill to an old owl.
Buck Grits, Soil Pro, presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors, segment 4 of the show. And, man, this went by fast, Wayne.
It sure did.
Yeah. It's like it does more and more and more the older I get.
I think so.
Well, the better the story, the faster the time seems to fly, because you really get involved.
Oh, it is when you get somebody like Warren Bland talking about what he's doing, and you got Darren Williams of this 236. Darren, let's pick it back up here.
We got five eights. Don't cheat them out of that 5/8.
Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left here. Tell us the story.
So anyway, we'd about given up on this deer. You know, like I was saying, he was just a ghost. Couldn't pattern him, and season was going on and on. We got through muzzleloader, never saw him. Got through the first part of archery, never got a crack at him, and harvest was kicking in, and we just had a lot going on, and just wasn't seeing him, and I pretty much had given up on him. And there was another nice 10-pointer, our other food plot. I thought and he was coming in pretty regular. I thought I might as well, you know, go try to hunt him because I'm not seeing this big giant. And then I was sitting at the table one night there, and I'm like, you are an idiot if you go kill that other deer, knowing that there's this giant deer that any second he could step out. I mean, I just was determined to go to the end of the deer season. Even if I didn't kill a deer, I was determined to hunt this deer to the end. And lo and behold, that morning, I got a picture on my Tacticam of him walking by the camera with no does with him. He wasn't pushing any, and I thought, man, he's not on lockdown anymore. He's just kind of cruising.
Yeah.
And his demeanor when he went in front of the camera just kind of had changed. It wasn't just a quick walk by. I mean, he was just kind of walking slow and stopping, and I thought, he's just cruising. And so that afternoon, it was the perfect wind. It was cold. I told my hired hand, I said, you're going home early. We're getting out of the combine. And I said, I'm going to go try to hunt this deer. And it was just one of them magical evenings. You know, we all have magical evenings, and we go to the blind and nothing happens. But this was the magical evening. You get there and you're like, everything's just too perfect. I just told myself, we're going to get him tonight. He's going to show up. And the night's going on and nothing's happening. And I'm starting to get kind of like, come on. I know he's in here somewhere. And, you know, the night unfolded with some does, some young bucks chasing does in the food plot. That staging area that I told you I built behind my blind came into play. I turned around. I saw an 8-pointer pushing a doe back there, and they ran out into the food plot. And, oh, well, he's seeing some activity. And it didn't take long. Now, that 8-pointer was looking right through my blind. I was up in a 10-foot elevated redneck blind, and he was looking right through the stand. And I thought, you know, I've seen that before. I'm like, he's looking at something behind me. And when I turned around and looked out the window of my redneck, this big giant deer was standing 15 steps from my lighter, and he was dogging a doe in the timber right behind me. Wow. And I'm going to tell you guys, I just literally about lost it because I've never looked down on a set of antlers like that. And I just... He just disappeared, pushing her back into the timber. I turned around, and I told myself, it's game time. Let's get serious. Don't screw this up. If he shows up, let's make it happen. And I tried to prepare myself, and I tried to get my heart rate calmed down. And it took about 15, 20 minutes, and that doe he was pushing got on that trail I cut with my brush cutter. She eased right down in front of me, walked directly straight away from me out in the food plot. And I just thought, oh, I need to grunt, or no, I need to hit the can, or I better rattle. And then I thought, you idiot, you've got the perfect decoy right in front of you. You've got a hot doe. He nudged her in there. Just for once, don't do anything. Don't screw this up. Just let it play out.
I love that.
We've all been there.
And I was just like, don't force the issue. And I thought, if he doesn't show up in 30 minutes, then maybe give a soft grunt or hit that can or something. But right now, he's standing in this thick timber. You just can't see him. He's close to you. And after I had that thought, I saw him come down that trail.
Oh, my.
And he stepped out from behind that cedar tree at 12 yards, and all I could see was his nose and the front part of his antlers. And that's when I really had trouble breathing, and I just really – I was by myself in the blind, and – you know what drove me to kill this deer more than anything is I didn't want to face the embarrassment of messing it up because everybody knew I was after this deer. And to know that I was going to get it shot at him that close, I thought, if I screw this up, I just don't think I'm going to tell anybody anything anymore. I just think I'm going
to
quit.
And, you're not going to go to the coffee shop in the morning.
Nope. So anyway, he steps out and he doesn't follow the doe. He turns and he goes right in front of me. Just perfect, and I'm like, I wasn't planning on this. He was at 8 yards. He was so close, I couldn't stop him because I was afraid if I bleated at him or something, he would look at me and bolt or whatever. I'm looking through the scope on my crossbow, I can't see him because it's such a steep angle because he's so close.
Oh, my gosh. Your heart's got to be pounding.
The inside of the blind.
Huh?
And I'm like, don't hit the edge of that blind. So he's so close, I can't get it, the bow out of the bog tripod. So I took my left arm and I lifted the whole tripod up. I got up out of my chair about 6 to 8 inches, and I squeezed it off just low on his heart as he was just taking a real slow step right in front of me. And it all happened so fast, I wasn't 100% sure I hit him, but I thought I saw a little red entry point when he ran over there and he just stopped. Well, he only stopped for about 10 seconds, and then he bolted straight out into my food plot, stopped at like 35 yards. He rocked once to his right and then slammed himself down about as hard as I've ever seen a deer crash.
Oh.
And the rush of the emotion and everything after I saw him crash, I just absolutely lost it in the blind. I was by myself, but you could have heard me screaming probably 2 miles away. I just couldn't believe.
You didn't care about that other 10-pointer.
We put so much effort into this.
You didn't care about that other 10-pointer. So much hard work into it, Redbone.
Nope.
Well, see, there's your perfect example right there. What we talk about all the time.
He never gave up.
Never give up. Be patient and put in the work. I mean, put in your food plot. Get things mowed the way they should be. I mean,
and water source. Example. That's the one thing.
The water source.
Yeah,
the water sources. And you think
about. We talk about that all the time.
And I tell you what, in our last bonus segment, and we're going to talk about that here real quick. Darren's going to do a bonus segment with us if you listen to podcasts. And Wayne's going to tell you about the podcast. But we're going to talk about him recovering the deer. And we're going to do a synopsis of all this, what created that success. And Darren's going to share his stuff. Wayne, wrap her up.
And before I tell you about the podcast, one quick question.
Yeah.
Who was the first person you called
when
you settled
save
down?
It. That's save
where,
it.
Save it for
the podcast.
We'll save that for the podcast. But if you want to listen to who we called and how he did it, just tune in the podcast. And all you got to do is go to your favorite podcast carrier, type in American Roots Outdoors, and hit the like, subscribe, or follow button, whatever it asks you to do. And you'll catch the rest of Darren's story here.
Yeah, and if you want to follow Darren, Darren has a Facebook page, Darren Williams, from Kansas. So look him up. He was the talk of the whitetail industry last year, the outdoor industry.
Pictures all over the internet.
It's Buckmasters. He showed the deer at Buckmasters, and I'm honored to hunt with you. I'm going to put you on my best buck that I've got on my farm when you come and hunt with me.
And if he would have missed, he still would have been the talk of the whitetail industry.
Well, we better wrap her up, everybody. I want to thank you, Darren. Thank you, Warren, for coming into the show with us. And again, we got the bonus segment. And I want to say this. It's important to be great examples to our youth. And Warren, you're doing that. Darren, you're doing that. We all worship the same God, the same Jesus. And, you know, that's what he wants us to do, share his creation. It's important that we teach our kids about the outdoors. And always remember this.
When your roots run deep and strong,
there's no reason to fear the wind.
So you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoor.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland? Contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialist, LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialist, LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449. Legacy Farm Land Specialist, LLC, presents our bonus segment with the podcast. If you're listening to this, you're listening probably to your favorite podcast carrier. We're on every podcast carrier available. We air in 19 countries. And again, we've got Darren Williams here. He's going to tell the story. Wayne, I'm going to let you pick it back up.
Well, Darren, I gave everybody a little suspense to hold on to while we went on our break there. But just out of curiosity, I got two questions for you. First, let's answer the first one I asked you, and that is, who was the very first person you called to let them know that you closed the deal?
So you remember I told you when I found that shed?
Yep.
That the guy, the outfitter, he had to tell me the whole story. His name's Travis Sipe, and he's a good buddy of mine. And He knew I was in there hunting that deer that night and that I'd seen it on trail cam, and so I called him. But I ain't going to lie, it took me about 5 minutes because my finger kept bouncing around and I couldn't find the dial button on my phone. And I couldn't make my hand work. And I think my body shook over this whole deal for about 3 hours that night, killing this deer because it was so crazy. But Travis came out there and he was the initial one to help me do the recovery on it.
There's something about friendships, isn't there? You know? Friendships.
Yep. I'm going to tell you,
precious.
Too, if you kill a 236-inch deer, that'll mess you up for a good long while, too.
Oh, I know in your community. I know it will. It will. And people get jealous. You know, we see that. I see it with doing radio and
yep.
everything, outdoor stuff. And, you know, they'll say to your friend, but they're jealous, you know. But, hey, you yep. never want to burn a bridge, even though they're jealous.
Nope.
You treat all relationships fragile. Yeah.
I do have a question for Darren real quick, and that is, Darren, you said that Travis told you the year before he believed it was about a 200-inch, and then obviously when you got it and you were actually able to measure it the next year, it was 236. How old was your deer?
5.5.
So from a 4.5 to 5.5, he put on about 30-plus
well,
inches.
Well, if he was close, if he guessed right
at 200.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable saying he put on at least 35 inches. He could have put on 40 because nobody really officially scored him the year before. We were just eyeballing him.
Okay.
But
well, I know this. Of all the deer that come in on grow on my farms, I've never seen any of our deer blow up over 25 inches. So,
right.
You know, a lot of it is what they eat and – you know, I'm excited about this new product. I'm using Soil Pro to enhance my ground, and it neutralizes and makes your soil pH correct, and it's living microorganisms to see what's going to happen next year. You know, it's all about nutrition, stress, et cetera, and growing these big antlers. But in Kansas, they have a lot of corn, a lot of beans, and
We do a lot of things with our food plots that don't involve corn and soybeans, with our sedan grass, sunflowers, sun hemp, our millets, things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's for another time and discussion. Yeah. But I had been doing a lot of these different things the previous year or two, and there's a good chance he was in there grazing on my stuff, unbeknownst to me. But back to your question about the antler growth. See, I have the shed from the year before, and that shed is around 100 inches or somewhere in that general area. And then the same side this next year was like 115 or 17, somewhere in there. So we know on one side he grew 15 to 17 inches. And so if he did 15 to 17 on the other side, you know, he's 30 to 35 inches bigger than he was the year before.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time on the show, about people saying, you know, telling people if you just wait that year. You know, wait till they get that 4.5 to 5.5 and maybe even 6.5. But that 4.5 to 5.5, statistically, they say is when they put on the most mass, given the right nutrition and minerals and that.
Yeah, we plant Eagle Seed, and we're huge at the Eagle Seed Smorgasbord. It's their number one selling food plot blend. Have you ever planted that?
No, I haven't, but my mix is probably similar to that. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Well, we need to hook you up with some of that.
The idea of what I do is the same, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's got like 10 different blends. It's got perennials and annuals, clovers and kale and radishes and trophy buck oats and buckwheat. It's really high protein. It's like walking into a buffet, you know, smorgasbord. And the deer just go nuts over it. Our acorn, I don't know, what's your acorn crop look like out there? Our acorn crop in my area? Yours is super?
Super.
Yeah, ours is not
it's
super.
It's different parts of the country.
Yeah, Donovan, south of us, 70 miles, he said it's super. It, it, It's not super here where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, our white oaks are really big. I mean, big as my thumb. All the pin oaks, you know, post oaks, everything is just loaded, just in clusters.
Yeah, what about Kansas?
You know, honestly, I can't tell you because I don't, on all my properties, I don't have any oak trees on them. I've got a lot of hedge trees, and I do a lot of food plots, and so I haven't strayed into the timber too far yet this year to really see. I can tell you we're super dry and our soybeans aren't doing very well and a lot of ponds are drying up and it's pretty tough. We're in a tough drought. So my guess is they're not that great.
Darren's over there thinking, well, I've got 12 trees on my 2,000 acres and not one of them has dropped an acorn yet.
Back to the pond.
So I want to get back to this deer and harvesting this 236 and 5/8 deer. Did you have an opportunity? You said it was about 4:30 in the afternoon when you harvested this deer. Did you get an opportunity to put him in the back of the truck and drive him around town?
Oh, you got to do that.
I mean, are you close enough to town? But sometimes in Kansas, this is a long ways from one town to another. So did you get a chance to really get up there and show him off?
I got him in the Ranger that night, and we got him tagged and got everything done proper, and I built a walk-in cooler last year, and so we got him in that and got him cooled down. And then some people that knew that we were hunting him and knew about the deer, I let him come out and look at him at the machine shed. But we had some issue with some jealousy and some other stuff, so I just decided not to really parade him around too much in town. But social media kind of took over and did all the advertising for me. Once I posted him on my Facebook page, it just went berserk after that. And I wasn't really prepared for how berserk it might get. I get it. Some people don't want to share their story. They're private people. They really don't want to tell people what they have or whatever. And I'm not a big bragging type of guy. But I knew this was a special deer. You know, I call him a freak of nature, and there's just no way I cannot share it with people. And I put it on some Facebook pages and different things just because I'm an avid hunter, and I'm happy for other people when they do great things and they kill big deer or they've got kids out in the woods and get some kids on some deer. And that stuff, you know, I can look at a post, somebody else's post, and not be jealous. I can look at their post and just be happy for them. And so that's why I made the decision to go ahead and post it, and you know, it was a big deal, and I just thought you know, other avid hunters out there might like to see it. And but I do want to say a couple things about the hunt overall on what, you know, really made it successful is adapting and overcoming. I really made something out of nothing. I really put that food plot in, I cut those lanes, I made that staging area. You know, I put a little 8-acre food plot in the back there. And if you guys looked at an aerial map of this property, which I'm not going to be able to tell you where it's at, but if you did see it, you would say there's no way you killed this deer here. And yet I did, because I know from experience, what these food plots can do, putting in the right spot.
Correct.
And then the second thing is just being flexible enough to change a little bit. So I've caught a fair amount of flack over the deal on social media and other outlets for killing this deer with a crossbow.
Don't worry about that.
Because I'm supposedly lazy or whatever their reason was.
Don't worry about that.
But I'm doing this for information for people to understand that I'm a compound bow guy, and I've killed several deer over, you know, I don't know, 25 years with my compound, and I'm that guy that's like, man, I'm not big on crossbows. But you know what? I'm 51 years old.
Come on.
I got a sore shoulder. Things are creeping up on me that have never creeped up on me before.
I'm 59.
And I
can still kick and stretch.
Darren, I feel you, because
I didn't have the time last year to put the practice in to making a 50-yard shot with my compound.
Yeah.
And whether it would have been a 6-pointer or this big buck, I wasn't going to make an unethical shot on this deer. But I knew with the new crossbows and stuff
that I could make a 50-yard shot with one, and so I went out and bought one. And there's a guy that works for the store there. His name's Leon, and he got me all set up. And I pulled out a picture of this deer, and I said, Leon, just met you today. You got me all hooked up with this crossbow. I promise you this. If I kill this deer in this picture, I'll bring it up here and show it to you. And he just rolled his eyes. He's like, yeah, okay, well, after I killed that deer, I called Leon up at the store, and I said, you in there today? And he says, yeah. And he goes, I don't even, who are you? And I said, yeah, I'm Darren Williams. I set that cross, you set that crossbow up the other week or so ago. Or no, actually, it was a month ago. And I said, I told you if I killed that deer, I'd bring it in to show you. And he says, yeah, I remember you. And I said, well, I killed him, and I'll be there in an hour. And when I got into the store and pulled that antlers out, he just about lost it. And so I took a lot of pictures with him and
beautiful
had
story.
A lot of fun with
beautiful
him.
Beautiful story.
Great story.
That's awesome, man, sharing it. You know, so again, just recap real quick, perseverance. And he was overthinking. And think about it. He used strategy, food plot, cleared a staging area, a travel route right to his blind.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah. It's
the most important thing I took from what he said when he was talking about hunting that day.
Yeah.
The wind was right.
Yeah. Wind was right when he went in there. Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
There you go. What a great story. Again, I want to encourage all of our listeners to follow Darren Williams and stay tuned to his hunting with me in Missouri. We're going to be keeping you guys up to date when he arrives on the 15th of November to hunt with me. So we're going to tell the story of what he kills with me. Wayne?
Hey, as a guy born here in Kansas also, I feel you, and I can't wait to meet you when you get over to Alex's. Again, everybody, thanks for listening to American Roots Outdoors with Alex, Mike. We have Warren here with us and Darren on the line. And like we say here at American Roots.
You always do the first part.
I'm letting you do it this time.
When your roots run deep and strong.
There is no reason.
To fear the wind.
And pray for Israel.
Pray for Israel.
Amen to that.
Hey, deer hunters, are you looking for an easy-to-use product to help enhance your food plot and enhance the health of your overall deer herd? You need to check out Soil Pro Outdoors. They are the soil health experts. They've developed a revolutionary and groundbreaking approach to taking food plots to the next level. It's easy to use. It can be applied with something as simple as a handheld sprayer. Enhance antler size, the health of your herd, and the health of your soil. Soil Pro Outdoors help produce the highest quality forage possible. All natural approach to improving soil health. Find them on Facebook at Soil Pro Outdoors. Soil Pro Outdoors, the soil health expert.
From a whippoorwill to an old owl hoot, sitting still till it's time to shoot. American Roots, take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek.